One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, and welcome to my third attempt to introduce this episode of Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. I'm Kim France.
And I'm your other host, Jen Romolini.
I forgot to say we are your hosts. There's always something.
But you know what? It doesn't matter because we make up the rules of the podcast, so it's just fine. It's fine.
True. We could say it all in Pig Latin if we wanted.
We could. Good morning, Kim France, or afternoon, your time. How are you today?
It is afternoon here. I'm pretty good. Everything is pretty fine. Getting ready. Memorial Day weekend is coming up, which is very exciting. I'm going to go out to Sag Harbor for a week. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice. You know, I like it out there, and I also like it for the dog because he can run in the yard and be like a normal dog.
Yeah. That's nice to give the dogs some freedom. It's like an airing out of everybody, you know, it's like everybody gets it, you know?
That's true. And he like digs holes and buries bones and does all these very, you know, act doggy things.
Yes.
It's nice, but it is true. Everybody gets an airing out. I'm looking forward to my airing out. How are you?
I'm good. Can I tell you something? It is really hard to keep getting Ritalin. It is like the hardest. I love Ritalin. I'm on the lowest dose of Ritalin. And it is so hard because it is such a controlled substance. And they make you every month, they'll only give you a month at a time in prescription. And so every month, I, a person with ADHD who has a very hard time with administrative tasks, have to jump through so many hoops to get this medication on the phone with the insurance. I know this medication is usually for people under 18. I'm 49. Like it's, and the pre-authorization and the doctor. And it's just ironic given the fact that I'm getting it to help me do these things. Anyway. It's just a real fucking hard time with me and my Ritalin, but I love my Ritalin, and that's how that is. So I'm going to be all over the place. I'm out of meds. I'm going to be all over the place today. I've been listening to Harry Styles.
I love Harry Styles. I couldn't love Harry Styles more, and then he like fell in love with an older woman, so I just had to love him even more.
Harry Styles was one of those things that was like one of those things, but one of those people that was like in the periphery for me. He was just kind of floating around. I knew people liked him. I knew that like, you know, he was like, people were like, he's hot. And I knew that he had a lot of like fashion, you know, it was a very a fashion rebel, a lot of skirts and just playing with like gender and everything. And I knew all of that. But then I listened to Harry's House this weekend and I was like, holy fucking shit, Harry Styles. It's great. It's a great album.
That's what I hear. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm going to now, given that recommendation.
There is a song on it. It was so embarrassing because I was just like, doing like old people domestic things all weekend, like cleaning out closets and going through, you know, just like, you know, whatever, just like boring shit, listening to Harry Styles and weeping with my headphones on around the house. There's a song on this album called Matilda, which is just like just a punch in the gut. It's so beautiful. And he just seems like such a lovely, lovely man who loves women. I'll say that.
He does seem that way. He really does seem like he loves women. And I think that's, you know, to me, a big part of why his younger fans relate to him when he dresses up in girls' clothes, which could be something that would be alarming for a young fan.
Right, right. I don't think anymore.
I guess you're right. But it makes me so happy. I mean, there are all sorts of things that being young right now sucks because of, like the fact that we've used up our environment.
Yes.
And the earth is going to burn and all of that. But getting to live with all of the models of how to express your gender is such a gift. It's such a fucking gift. When I think about this story all the time. When I was in boarding school, mm-hmm. one of the girls I was friends with, and I got kind of drunk one night with another guy, because that's what you do at boarding school. You drink.
Right.
And she started crying and crying. And she's like, I really think I'm gay. And this guy and I, our response to her was, oh, you're not gay. Don't worry.
Oh, you know, yeah.
That was how we responded, you know, and I knew no better.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I mean, you knew no better, but it just wasn't on the table. It was just harder. This gets me into another topic I wrote down to talk about today, which is are you caught up on Hacks?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
So the last episode of Hacks they're on the lesbian cruise.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I was thinking about this. This is the second show about an older woman that addresses the idea of, well, maybe, are you a lesbian? Like, could you maybe, or not even a lesbian. Are you sexually fluid? Is your sexuality fluid enough that you could consider being with a woman, right? And the mm-hmm. first one is Better Things, and it's like Pamela Adlon, and
right.
that like beautiful woman is like, you know, yeah, like, oh, maybe. And Pamela Adlon's like, I can't. And then this is Jean Smart and this younger person just really saying to her, you know, it's not necessarily being gay or straight. It's just, you know, men have their purpose and so do women. And it's just floating this like this new idea about like you could kind of just fuck anyone you want.
Yeah.
You know, that was not a thing that I realized. And I'm so sad about how limited my menu felt back then.
Yep. Yep. Me too.
And I've been thinking about it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if I had been born at it now, if I was young now, I would for sure be bi.
Same.
For sure. For sure. It would have been an easy, fun thing to do. You know, as it was, I guess I should say this on the podcast, why not? At a certain point after my last long-term relationship ended, I was like, I'm going to date women.
Yeah.
I've always been kind of attracted to women. I could make this work. I'll date women. And then I went on all the apps and like met some women and went on a date with one of them. And I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever done. Like very nice woman, very attractive, very interesting. But I was just like, Kim, you're just perilously straight. And you know, maybe it would have been different if I had tried this earlier, but that was all it took. It took one date with a really very lovely person for me to realize like, yeah, you're not going to bend that way anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would bend that way. I mean, I've made out with women. I had friends who I think I was like attracted to, or at least like very much in love with emotionally.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
very, very intensely in love with. But I felt so like, I was afraid to open those doors, right? To even like explore those rooms and see what was in there. Because I didn't understand that you could be bi, really. It wasn't really a thing I got. It was like, you're this way or that way. And Jean Smart says this in Hacks, like, you know, I love men. And the other character, you know, the younger character is like, yeah, but are you sure? you know? And I just don't think we were able to explore. And so how could we be our authentic selves? And I think that we were very sexually repressed because of it, all of us.
Yeah, I think we were. I mean, when I think back to the ways I acted as a teenager and how I thought I was supposed to behave around boys.
Well, right. Because, and that's something that they get at this, in this episode of Hacks, which I agree with you is uneven and problematic. That's like, it's not problematic. That's not as good as whatever. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But what one thing she says was, are you really attracted to these men? Or is their attention so flattering because mm-hmm. a straight man is like the highest form of human in our society that like them taking a shine to you just feels so amazing. So is it that you're attracted to them or you're attracted to their attention?
Yeah. Well, it can be both.
It can be both. It can be
both. Can be both. And, but no, that was very insightful and for sure true.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure true. Yeah. No, I went to Oberlin and never even kissed a girl. Wait, like that's an accomplishment.
You've never kissed a girl?
I've never kissed a girl.
Wow.
I've never made out with a girl.
Not never. Drunk?
Not drunk.
Wow. I mean, I just made out with everybody, so it doesn't really matter. It really was not like showing a preference. It was just like, oh, let's make out. Fun times.
That's hilarious. No, I never have, you know, so I'll always have curiosity.
Yeah, yeah. No, and the thing is, there's also like the whole like threesome fantasy, but the thing is you cannot be, the threesome fantasy only works if you're the outside person.
I agree 1,000%. There's no way I would do it except as the invited guest.
That's it. You have to be the invited guest. Because every person I know who's had a threesome is always like, yeah, you can't be part of the couple. Like that.
You can't be part of the couple. That would suck. I can think of few things that would suck more.
Oh my God.
No, I mean, them being right there, like hanging out. I've never had a threesome either. I'll just say it. I'm super square.
Me neither.
But I never really wanted one because I felt like, what happens when they start mixing it up and you're just kind of laying there?
Oh, see, I don't care about that. It's being part of the longtime couple who's like, let's spice it up. Let's bring in a third. I don't understand, especially if you are two neurotic people, I don't understand. I can just laugh thinking about the arguments.
No, it's true. It's true. How could it's like the old saying goes, fucking leads to kissing.
Wait, what does that mean?
It means you bring in a third. You fool around with them. I mean, I'm saying it's just about threesomes, but like you fool around with somebody, you have an affair with somebody, you're sleeping with somebody, and eventually, you know, what do the kids say? You catch feelings.
Oh, yes. Okay. I see what you're saying. Wow. That's a good phrase. Fucking leads to kissing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just, I'm sure like, look, I know it works for many, many people. But I just feel like in my super like, you know, heady, neurotic relationship, it would never work. But I wish in my single days I had been that third person. I think that would have been fun, actually.
It would have been fun to be, I agree, to be the lucky Pierre, they used to call it.
You are busting out so much.
I'm just giving and giving today.
You really are. You are giving so much. I'm very uncomfortable because as we're talking, my elbows are sliding along my desk because I've discovered a new aging issue, which is I have really scaly elbows. So I've been like greasing them up. And now like it's like an elbow, like ice skating rink. It's bad. But anyway, I found a new part of my body that needs to be tended to in my midlife, which is fucking elbows, man. Have you felt yours lately?
I just did.
Mine are like sandpaper.
Well, mine are okay. But the other day I was like, my foot was really bugging me. It was itching like crazy. And it had like the, and it was kind of like the skin was sort of peeling. And I was like, do I have athlete's foot? I have athlete's foot. And Paul was like, try putting a little lotion on it.
No.
It totally got rid of it. They were just dry.
Well, that's it. That's what it is. That's what it is. And I now have Vaseline after all the kids were like, Vaseline? Did you see this on like, everyone was like, that's the beauty product of the year.
That's so weird. Somebody younger than me. Oh, I know. Paul's son was just telling me he uses Vaseline on his skin. And I was like, Vaseline? The kids use Vaseline.
Yes, they do. I forgot about Vaseline. Vaseline is wonderful because Vaseline has like a gross rep for me. It's like just like Vaseline and like, I don't know, like baby powder. It's just like old products, right? Like Pond's cold cream. I feel like that's just like a medicine cabinet of the past.
Yes.
But if you put a bunch of Vaseline on like a very scaly part of your skin, it works.
That's so good.
And it's cheap. It's a cheap solution. But the kids are using it as like a highlighter on their cheeks and stuff to like have like glowy skin. Yeah. The super youngs. Anyway, I don't know. That was something I thought.
Well, I've been thinking about the fact that my mother is turning 85 next week.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
She's turning 85. She's a very young 85. She's still completely got her marbles. She's slowed down, of course. But she's really been in a mood about it. She didn't want a party. Then maybe we'd have a dinner. Maybe she'd have a Zoom call with friends. But then she hated that idea. And my mom listens to this. So I'm trying to figure out how to talk about this. Like dealing with an aging parent isn't just about dealing with like their physical maladies,
right?
That whatever comes up, but also with how they change. You know, like my mother has in the past few years really changed as a person. She's much more sensitive than she used to be.
Mm-hmm.
She gets hurt very easily. And she used to just roll with everything. So it's weird. It's like, oh yeah, that's part of it too. Like my brother said to me yesterday, we just have to accept that our mother is slightly different than she used to be. We can't poke fun at her anymore or things like that.
Wow. But of course, because we all change, right? I mean, that's the most difficult thing about long-term relationships with anybody.
Yeah.
Is adjusting to how and allowing for that change. But I'm sure with a parent, it's different.
It's different. And also just like the change that she's going through. I mean, you know, I hope she lives for as long as she wants to. And you know, I won't be ready when she goes at all.
Right. No matter when.
But just coming to that realization that she must be at 85, that like no matter what, you know, there's not a whole lot left.
Ugh, that's the kind of like, that's just that phrase makes me want to like, I feel like the hand on my neck when you say that, like it just,
I know. And I hate saying it. It makes me scared, you know, but I mean, there could be not a whole lot left for any of us on any given day. And that's, you know, that is how we have to live. It's a cliche and it's corny, but it's true.
It's cliches are cliche for a reason, right? I mean, it's absolutely true. And I've been thinking about this so much because I've been thinking about, well, first off, I'm reading this book again. I reread this book all the time. It's called How to Be an Adult. And it's not the Julie Lithcott-Hames book. It's by David Rico. And it's a handbook on psychological and spiritual integration. And it's about being an adult in your relationships, being present in yourself, being separate from other people so that you mm-hmm. can allow for their experiences. And just, I mean, it is so cliche, but all we have is this moment. So what do we want to do with this moment, whether in conflict with other people, because we're going to have conflict with other people because we can't control other people, with everything, with being like just days when you just, you know, fail to be grateful for everything you have. Like I was thinking today, I was like, I mean, even saying this, I feel like something's going to go wrong, but I was like, I feel good physically for the first time in a long time. Like I feel healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I need to remember and be grateful for that because it's not going to be here forever.
No.
It's just not. The way the things I can do with my body now are not, it's not going to be the case that I can run upstairs and down them and, you know, like yeah. all of the ways my body is still young.
Well, gratitude is so important and really it shouldn't be, but it's hard. It's hard to keep reminding yourself to be grateful.
Because it's fun to complain.
It's fun to complain and it's scary to be too happy. If you're a certain kind of person, which we both are.
Yes.
A lot of happiness can be a scary thing.
Yes. Yes. And it's not even, I think that I'm not even looking for the high of happiness. I'm looking for content. I'm looking to be contented. Like whatever that means, just like a sense of equilibrium, which, yeah. you know, that's what I'm striving for. But going back to your mom, like, of course she's sensitive because also all the making fun of each other that we do in families, it's fucked up. Like, it's just yeah. like the way we, the sort of like the structure of a family and the enmeshment of each other and the roles we all play in the family, like, sometimes you just don't want it. Sometimes like your role in the family starts to feel too small for you in a way or just like wrong sized. I don't know if you've ever felt this with your siblings where you're just like, I don't want to be made fun of about that anymore.
Yeah, no, for sure I have. For sure I have. You know, and I think we've allowed each other to change. And, you know, I think I definitely got shit for how I was when I was younger for a very long time. And I would just have to implore people to update their hard drives.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. So speaking of how we were when we were younger in relationships and everything, I am attempting very gently to make amends with a really close old friend. And I am trying. I sent this person flowers for their 50th birthday and I got a very nice note back and I am going to send a long apology. And I really am trying to make amends with a relationship that I feel like I really fucked up and that I miss a lot. And I'm like looking up like how to make amends with a person because I don't know because, you know, you don't want an apology to be all about you and you don't want it to, you know, but I would like to resurrect this friendship if I can, or at least
not have the feeling you have now about
exactly,
it.
Exactly. So I am very sort of cautiously, gently, carefully, thoughtfully trying to make amends with a friendship that I'd had for 30 years that I totally blew up by being an asshole.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I went to this party Saturday night that I talked about on the show.
That's right. That's right.
Going to.
That's right.
And there was somebody was going to be there who had been a good friend of mine, a very good friend, and who I had pretty much screwed up the friendship when I went through my difficult, crazy period.
Right.
And he, you know, I don't think could deal particularly well with messes. And I was a really big mess at the time.
Yep.
And someone said to me, well, did you ever make amends to him? Did you ever apologize to him? And I was like, no, I never apologized to him because I still think he was a dick for dumping me.
Right.
You know, like I still, and I was really, you know, I knew I would not talk to him or talk to him very briefly. As it turns out, he wasn't at the party. But I have really mixed feelings. You know, in AA, they say like you should make amends except when to do so would cause further harm.
Right, right. Right.
And I know they're talking about cause further harm to the person, but I think in question, in this particular circumstance, it would have caused more harm for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think both things are true, right? I mean, I have that friend who called me a psychopath and that situation actually got weirdly worse and mm-hmm. more wild. And I had to block the friend from every, because the friend just, I tried to make amends and the friend just wanted to abuse me. The friend wanted to just keep shoving my face in my shit. And, you know, there's certain relationships where you played a role, and maybe because you didn't like yourself very much, you wanted to feel bad about yourself and you sought out people who would make you feel bad about yourself. You know, there are relationships that are based on a kind of masochism and your
role,
for
sure.
Right? And getting right with yourself means both taking accountability for how you've wronged people, but also knowing when it's enough. The accountability is enough, and you have to protect yourself because nobody's going to protect you.
No, it's true. You have to know when to, you have to know when you can walk away and feel like your side of the street is clean.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So, you know, and I've been really looking at this shit quite a bit lately because I don't know. I've also been thinking a lot about, you know, I have this book and it's going to come out. And, you know, have I been generous enough to people? Because I have, you know, I have the power to hurt people in this book. Even if they're anonymous to the world, people who know me will know people in this book.
And the people who it is will know.
And the people who it is will know. And how do I, you know, how much what is the spirit that I wrote this in? Is where am I trying to be vengeful? Am I trying, you know, I don't want to be vengeful. I want to tell stories that are that, like, who wants to fucking read that? Who wants to read something that is just written bitterly? I mean, maybe we do, but you know.
No, I think about that because I've told you about this and I don't think I've talked about it here either, but my boyfriend before Paul started seeing one of my followers who like found him when I tagged him. And several months after we broke up, they started dating. And I figured out pretty quickly that it was one of my readers and someone who'd been following me for 30 years since Sassy.
Oh my God.
And everybody was like, you got to write about that. And I wrote about it and it wasn't terrible what I wrote, but one place that was thinking about running it said, we need to we need to disguise the identity of this woman. She's too identifiable by the things you say.
Right.
And I wanted to say, like, don't you understand this is a revenge piece? Like, that's the whole reason. And that's the, and I didn't run it anywhere. And I'm so glad I didn't because it was so raw.
Yeah. No. And sometimes you need the space. You need the space from the situation. You need a lot. Like, you cannot write when you're hot like that. You just can't.
No, you can't. You can't. And, you know, now, you know, quite a bit later after finding that out, I feel like those are two people who richly deserved each other. And I'm really very comfortable in that knowledge. But at the time, it was just the crappiest. And you don't feel, you know, it's too easy to be mean when you write. It's too easy to kind of pick off people.
It's cowardly.
So coming from a place of empathy, even when you're talking about somebody you hate.
Yep. Even if they fucking deserve it, it's still on you if you're a petty bitch. It's still on you.
Yeah. And can I say another thing about making amends and things? It feels good to apologize. I mean, assuming the person you're apologizing to isn't a complete asshole who isn't going to do what that friend of yours did and continue shoving your nose in it.
Right.
It feels good. It's freeing to apologize.
It is. It is so freeing to apologize. It feels like it's like taking something off you, you know? It's like just throwing off like a heavy cloak. It's just like, oh, I was an asshole. I'm so sorry. You know, it's just.
It's true. I had an assistant and I was generally, I think, okay with my assistants. You know, I was not.
I think that's fair.
I think I was okay with them.
I think that's fair.
They had to do shit they hated. They had to do shit they liked. Mm-hmm. I probably made some ridiculous demands, whatever. But basically, I was okay. But there was one assistant I really wasn't very nice to. It was the assistant I had right after I had my breakdown and was back in the office.
I remember.
And I was just not, you know, she was perfectly fine. But I was not. I think she was a plant, maybe. But she was fine. She was a nice girl. She was hardworking, and I was terrible to her because I was just so not right in my own head yet.
Right.
And over COVID, I found her, you know, I found her on LinkedIn, and I wrote to her and I said, listen, you know, I think you probably know that everything back then had to do with me and not with the job you did, but I wanted to tell you that I am so sorry. And she wrote something back that was so gracious. And I could tell she didn't expect to get anything like that.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, that had been bugging me. I'd been carrying it around. Like, you know, you do when there are people out in the world who have reason to think you're an asshole.
Yes. 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 The stuff that like keeps you up at night. And then, you know, it's just, you know, our egos are just so nutty and complex and like, you know, almost like have a mind of like the ego almost has a mind of its own. You know, it's like the ego just is like, it's like where the ego wants to go. Like if you think you're a piece of shit and it's almost like you want confirmation of that, you behave badly and you act out because you want to keep feeling bad and you seek out people who are men who will make you feel bad, you know, whatever. And just like, all of it is so self-centered and such narcissism. And eventually you just have to be like, oh man, like, oh God, sorry about that. That was really sorry that you got caught in my orbit, my garbage orbit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a woman who I was unkind about a number of years ago, also around all my crazy shit. And she found out something I said about her, which wasn't nice, but she wrote me the cruelest email that I've, the cruelest communication I've received ever of any kind.
Wow.
And I've even thought about apologizing to her. I've even thought like she doesn't live in New York anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who's in contact with her, but I, you know, she did something very unkind, but she was reacting to something I did. And I don't, like, even though I'll probably never see her again, I don't like knowing that there are people in the world who think I'm an asshole and have reason to think I'm an asshole, you know, and some of it you can't do a thing about. You got to let it go.
Well, some of it is just acceptance. Like I behaved badly.
Exactly.
I was an asshole.
Like I have a friend who I see every once in a while, but you know, I hurt her and she will never be my close friend again. She'll be a friend and a dear friend, but she'll never let me close to her the way that we were close before. And I live with that, you know, kind of makes me feel bad, but I live with that and I accept it. It's what happened.
Well, some of my worst stuff was really not even when I was actively, you know, being a, you know, aggressive or confrontational or many of the things that I had been, but it was when I was cowardly. I feel like when I was a coward, it was the worst because, you know, you're cutting someone off, you're moving away from them. Maybe when they need you, you're being a coward in that way. You're not saying the thing you really think because you're trying to get around the thing you really think, you know, I did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So you're passive aggressive. And the thing is, people are not stupid. People feel it. They know. They know that something's wrong, and it's almost insulting to like try to pull off that passive aggressive bullshit instead of just saying, you know, because what I didn't understand was I didn't understand boundaries for one, but I didn't understand that I had the right to say, you know, I'm not comfortable in this situation. I'm not going to come to these parties anymore because I'm not comfortable in them. I love you and our friendship, but could we try something like this and see each other? Like, I didn't know, I didn't have the tools to communicate my needs. So I got myself into just these thorny, like messy, complicated, labyrinthine, like friend dramas that could have been solved by just being like, I don't like hanging out with, you know, your five girlfriends, but I really like having one-on-one time with you. Could we do that? You know, just these very simple, straightforward, saying the real thing and owning the real thing.
Because the real thing is often so much more benign than whatever kind of behavior is cropped up around it.
Yes, yes, yes. Because then then it's like, then it's a dance of projection, right? You've pulled back. The person has filled up that emotional space with thinking that you hate them. And then you're like feeling guilty. But then you're mad because they're now being mean to you because they think you're mad at them. And it's just a theater. It's just like, it's just like dysfunction theater at that point, instead of just being, oh, this is how I'm feeling. Oh, this is how I'm feeling. Done. Or letting the person take time, giving the situation time to breathe too, you know, instead of just like, we have to fix it right now. We have to fix it right now. I think that happens too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's hard, but apologizing is good.
Apologizing is a good thing.
And you can only hope that you have a person who's going to be receptive and gracious.
Let's take a quick break for some ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we're back. Would you like to change topics and talk about shirts?
Let's talk about shirts.
Okay. I have been... my, like, let's say from early 30s till about now, I have been mid 30s. I have been a flouncy silk blouse person. Just like,
I know that about you.
Any flouncy silk blouse, just give it to me, right?
A pussy bow, all the better.
All the better. Just a blouse. Give me a blouse all day. I probably have like 75 in my closet, right? Mm-hmm. I've been putting on blouses lately and being like, this is not right for me anymore. I have reached white button down age. I have reached.
Oh, welcome.
It's so weird. All of a sudden, it's all I am attracted to. I'm just like, oh, look at that button down. That's an interesting button down.
Yes, I understand.
How does this happen?
I don't know. There are just days when you try on something that's been in your closet forever and you're like, that doesn't work anymore.
No.
That just doesn't work anymore. How you get to the place where I am, where you're rapidly approaching and just dressing like a boy all the time, I don't know. I don't know how it happened to me. I used to dress girlier. I mean, I think it's an age thing, flouncy things and frilly things, which I was never that into. Look silly the older you get.
No, but it's like, I think that the way I was in my body felt very different. You know, I rarely wore bras. I liked like blouses that were sort of like falling all over the place. It was just like a very sexy and fluid thing. And now I'm like, no, I want structure. I want a shoulder. I want a collar. I want like, it's the craziest thing. I'm even like, ooh, a long button down?
No, really? Like a tunic?
Yes. I was like, I think I could look cute in a tunic. I'm just starting to see it. And I mean, it's so middle-aged. I can't believe it, but like crisp. I want something crisp and structured. And I've been I know Cezanne has some really, is that the name how you say? I think they have very good.
I think that's how you say it. I know. I mean, you have to remember it is a good look.
It's a good look.
It is a good look. And, you know, but when I worry, and this isn't entirely fair, but like, I'm like Eileen Fisher. What did I ever have against Eileen Fisher?
Oh, 100%.
I don't own any Eileen Fisher, but a lot of it looks good to me. There's this pair of sandals I'm thinking of buying. Like it just, I think it just must be part of natural scientific evolution somehow. Like it feels so like inevitable.
Yes.
And happens so regularly to people who are all very different in other ways.
Yes.
You know, like it's, yeah, I know. And I can only imagine it gets worse. I don't know.
I mean, is it worse or is it better? Like I used to be like, J. Jill, lady play clothes. That's ridiculous. Elastic waistbands, thumbs down. And now I'm like.
Now you're like big butt press, oh, elastic waistband.
Oh, and now I'm like, oh, just give me a two-piece in the same flowy fabric, but like with a button and a collar. I will just like, it's basically it's outdoor pajamas. I'm also maybe into, I don't know. I don't know fully. The other problem is I don't have enough opportunities to dress for other people. So it's like, I'm not getting enough practice, but I do want a pair of Huaraches. I think that is my thing.
I saw a pair of cute Huaraches, like clog sandals that I'm really, really thinking very hard about.
Huaraches. I have a lot of good skirts right now. I have a lot. I went on like an eBay run one time when I was getting my hair dyed recently. And I just bought like a bunch of like, I bought like a Sasson. Remember that brand from the 80s? I bought one of those.
Of course.
Those skirt. I bought a bunch of vintage skirts and I have a bunch of short sleeve turtlenecks that I'm going to be wearing them with, but also t-shirts and scarves. But then my next real fashion run is I think I'm going to fill my closet with striped button downs or just white button downs. It's just time. That's it.
There are many, many, many good striped button downs to have.
Yes. I mean, Alex Mill makes good ones.
Zirena, Xirena.
Yeah.
They make good ones. Frank and Eileen, although those are a little more expensive. Mm-hmm. Everlane makes good ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is my wheelhouse. Welcome to my wheelhouse.
The other thing I've been enjoying, we've been talking about it, but I really tried it out over the weekend is a vest. I really tried out a vest.
You know what? I've wanted to try a vest, like a little knit vest or a suit vest. Yeah. I think it's a great look. I have not been brave enough.
I got a hot pink sweater vest. It's like a fuchsia sweater vest. And I wore it over like a nice fitted white t-shirt. And it was super cute with a pair of jeans. It was like the cute, I was like, oh, I'm into vests. This is a good look.
You know, we're having a guest on in a few weeks who's going to talk about fashion. And I cannot wait because I have so many questions.
Yeah, I do too. My questions are mostly about pants. If I really had to narrow down all of my style, all of my life questions, this fucking frivolous fuck that I am, tell me more about pants.
They're hard.
They're hard. I don't want any more sausagey pants in my life. I don't want any pants where it's like so tight at the thigh that there's like just lumps.
Well, how about so tight that you can't cross your legs?
Ugh.
You know, like, I don't want that anymore. I don't like the way it looks on me. It's not what I want.
No, but I do want, like, I have a good pair of white jeans from the Gap from like 30 years ago, but I want more white pants. I've been into white a lot too. See, again, this is all coastal grandma shit. This is like white. This is Diane Keaton white. It's nice as you get older.
I know. Just, I think we just have to accept.
Yeah.
I think we just have to accept.
What else? Anything else? Do you have any, what else is on your mind?
Well, you know, I watched this show the other day, a little bit of it, and I think you brought it up a while ago, On the Verge, with Julie. It's Julie Delpy's TV show.
How was it? I started watching it and I couldn't get through it.
I like it for existing.
Okay, tell me, but that is,
I like it for existing.
It's the faintest praise.
No, I like it because yeah. It's a show about women in their 40s, starring women who look like they're in their 40s, mm-hmm. or Elizabeth Shue, who must be in her 50s, mm-hmm. is in it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, I only watched like the beginning of the first episode, to be quite honest.
Okay.
But I did like it. And I'll tell you what I thought of more of it as I watch it. And maybe we'll even cut this too, because it's not that interesting considering.
I think it's fine. I think it's fine to talk about a show that you kind of watched. I watched the George Carlin documentary.
And how was that?
It was good. It was interesting. In a good way, not in a boring way. It was interesting. It was maybe a little too long. Like, that's the thing. Why are all these fucking documentaries fucking 7 hours long? Like, can't you just do a docu? Like, it used to be a documentary was like an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is like, I mean, it's fine. But, you know, he was so smart and so forward thinking. And it's amazing how many of his bits just hold up and can be pulled wholesale from 20, mm-hmm. 30 years ago and just placed on today. You know, the way he was like, you know, it's not about babies. It's not about hating abortion. George Carlin said, it's like Republicans hate women. Like, he just said it, you know, and he said it 30 years ago.
Yeah. When Republicans didn't even hate women as much as they do now.
Yes. So anyway, that was pretty good. And then I watched the Chippendale movie, which was like, oh God. I mean, I still watch kid movies with my kid. But it mm-hmm. was really strange because this kid movie, which has John Mulaney, who, you know, is on my shit list now for having anti-trans opening act.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. He had, what's his name? Dave Chappelle. He had Dave Chappelle come on his show. Or not his show. He's on the road. He's performing, and he had him open for him, I guess, in DC. And Chappelle came out and told a bunch of fucking anti-trans jokes. And like, it's not okay. It's over. Stop it.
No, it's not. It's not cool. And it's a shame because I have liked Dave Chappelle a great deal before this, but it's not cool. And you got to vote with your feet.
Yeah. And it's like, you got to vote with your feet. And it's like, fuck off. Find something else to talk about. These jokes are not funny anymore. And you want to talk about hurting people. They hurt people. And a lot of, you know, John Mulaney like has a very, you know, liberal and broad audience. And there were trans people who had traveled far to come to that show and now mm-hmm. have to sit there and hear fucking Dave Chappelle tell these filthy anti-trans jokes. And I'm sorry, but it's just like we talk about being canceled, like, you know, Louis C.K. getting canceled for jerking off in front of women, Aziz Ansari getting canceled for, you know, maybe pushing himself. I don't know. You know, people get canceled for shit, right? But they never really get canceled. Dave Chappelle should be canceled for continuing this behavior of yeah. telling anti-trans jokes. Like, there's so many trans kids in this world right now who are suffering so much with the way this country yeah. is treating them. So anyway, the Chippendale movie.
It's also, yes, it places him on like on the side I don't think he'd choose.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I really think that like if Dave Chappelle was given the choice to side with trans people or side with the people who really hate trans people and want to keep it all in the closet, I have to think that if he was four, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But you know what the thing is? It's so, there's something about it that's, we're so polarized, right? So there's something about some men, you know, Kanye is another one. There's like some men who are like, well, we can just be mavericks. Like, I'm not on the side of liberals and I'm not on the side of Republicans. I'm on the side of freedom or whatever, you know? It's right. Like, it's like,
I'm not a feminist. I'm a humanist.
Exactly. Like, I, you know, Trump's not even a Republican. He's just saying it like it is. Like, what, when did we become so precious about everything, you know? And it's like, fuck off. I know that Democrats suck too. Like, I know any sort of big institution sucks, but you don't get to go out and hurt people actively. Like, none of us should.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, unfortunately, you get to.
Yes. No, you do get to. No, you're right.
You get to. So it's tricky and awful.
It's tricky and awful. But anyway, back to this Chippendale movie. It was very interesting because it's I forget the other actor in it, but anyway, it's John Mulaney and some other comedian, and they are the two chipmunks in this movie. But it's a very meta cartoon that's clearly aimed at parents who are millennials. So it's all millennial jokes. So it was very strange to be watching a movie and be like, oh, this is geared toward a generation of parents. This isn't even geared toward kids so much as it's like there's all these like inside winky winky jokes for a generation of parents that came after me. So it was it's another like mark of getting older where like, oh, even the parents are younger than me now, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, I think that about like, cause I, you know, on Instagram, I see every assistant who worked at Lucky with their children now.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, geez. And they're not even that young anymore.
No. Well, it's like baby age is very different than like teen and tween age as far as parents. Like I've just been watching a bunch of my friends. I mean, it's a range, you know, some of my friends still have young kids, but some of my friends, their kids are graduating high school, graduating college. It's like, wow, that just all happened. Like that just went by. I remember your kid being at my house when the kid was two.
No, it is crazy. Two of my nephews will be in college in the fall.
My God.
I mean, it's mind-numbing.
It's mind-numbing. It really is. It really is. It's wild. I think we might have had questions that I forgot to answer, but I'm going to look just to make sure. Oh, wait, we do. okay. We're going to answer a couple of questions and then we're going to go. Are you fans of live music? Do you still go to see shows? What's the last band you saw play live? Or what's a band that you would still drop everything to see? Wow, this is many questions. Or did you hit a certain age and decide that you were done with shows?
I did hit a certain age and decide I was done with shows, probably in my mid-30s. I have gone to shows since then. The last show I saw was Yola Tango. I would drop a lot to go see Yola Tango. But I also have to say something that a friend once said to me, which is true for me as well, which is that no matter how much I love a band and no matter how much I want to hear all my favorite songs, I am always happy when the show is over.
Yeah, same. The last show I think I went to see Kim Gordon in a very, very small venue. Like I was like 8 feet away from Kim Gordon. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Like that was very exciting. And I went to see Tom Petty. I was on like a run for a long time. I mean, this is so sad. And I didn't realize Tom Petty was going to die, but I was on a run for a while of like, let's see these people before they die. So I saw Liza Minnelli. I saw Diana Ross. I saw Neil Diamond. I saw Rod Stewart. I saw Barry Manilow.
I saw him once in person.
Okay. He's amazing. The Fanilows are the best.
The Fanilows.
I more now think I go see shows for the venue almost, because there's like the Hollywood Bowl's pretty amazing. The Greek is pretty amazing out here. So an outdoor venue is really like a nice experience.
It kind of doesn't matter who plays.
But
I would love to see a show at the Hollywood Bowl one of these
come
days.
Come out. We'll go see something. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs are playing in the fall. I don't know if you like them, but I like them.
I like them fine.
But I might buy a ticket to see them. But yeah, we should go see something at the Hollywood Bowl. Okay. Next question. What's one path you choose not to take that still makes you wonder what if?
Oh, I know.
All right, go.
When I was in my early 30s, I briefly considered moving to California to become a TV writer.
Oh.
And I don't know if I would have been talented enough. I don't know if I would have been good in the writer's room. I don't know anything. But that is like one route that I think I didn't take that would have been interesting.
I broke up with a very lovely boyfriend I had, who's kind of a little bit the one who got away. I'm happy with my life now, but I broke up with him because he wasn't ready to move in with me or have kids or do anything. And I was like, well, I'm 31 years old. Like, fuck off. I got to move on. And he wound up getting engaged 6 months after we broke up. I think about that a lot. Best piece of advice for high school graduates?
High school graduates. Don't do any drugs that get mixed with fentanyl when you get to college.
Oh.
That's my big fear. Like I say that to my nephews all the time.
Yeah.
Please, please promise me you will not do any drugs that have fentanyl in them or could potentially have fentanyl in them.
I would say that nothing really matters until you're 25.
That's good advice.
I really feel like everyone's like, oh my God, I have to go to college. You don't know. You have no idea what you're going to want to be in your life. It's so stupid that we send 18-year-olds out to like make their fortune in the world. That's something we did when people lived to be 50. Like the fact that now we're like, have it all figured out now, 19-year-old. It's absurd, you know? So I just feel like nothing really matters till you're 25. So explore everything safely.
Safely. Truly.
Okay. Let's do one more. I'm 49 and getting married for the first time this summer. It'll be small, likely no more than 20 people. Any advice on how to make the day as fun and memorable as possible? I'd also love to hear your best relationship advice or best advice you'd been given. Thanks.
I think having a small wedding is one way to make sure it's a fun day and that you actually get to be in the moment. Because if I remember one thing from my own wedding, it was that I was just in a blur and didn't get a chance to really talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the evening went very quickly and it was very, very like manic.
Yes.
And I think having like a small wedding where you really get to chill with, you know, a select number of people you love is a great way to have a good wedding.
I would say don't pack too much in. You know, don't pack too much in. Make it very spacious. Make sure there's like good food. People are well fed. People who drink can drink. Make sure there's lots of non-alcoholic things for people too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you like music, play the music you like. But other than that, just let it air out. I feel like we get so tight around these kinds of events and it's like so overplanned. And then you're in it and it's the same thing. It's an out-of-body experience and then it's over like that and you've missed the whole thing. So stay present and do what you want. Like don't care about the obligation of other people. It's a day for you and your partner.
Yeah. And congratulations, you know?
Yeah.
That's really great. I love hearing about people getting married for the first time in their 40s.
49, that's amazing. Yeah, congratulations. And best relationship advice, as I was discussing with you earlier, remember that you are two individuals just sort of rolling along, like not feeling so attached to every one of your partner's moods and, you know, being present for them, but not letting their life experience impact yours as much. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm reading.
No, it does.
Yes, I'm reading Codependent No More. So,
yes. I mean, it's, you know, one of the things I've always thought about being in a relationship is it's wonderful because someone has to absorb your day.
Right.
but you have to absorb someone else's day.
Right. And maybe you don't. I mean, that's, you know, the most classic book, which I'm listening to on tape now, which not tape, that's fucking so old, but audiobook, Codependent No More. I mean, you just don't realize how quickly, what a slippery slope it is to codependence. And in the codependence, how useless you are to each other as partners when you're just like ping-ponging, you know, when you're just in a pinball machine ricocheting off each other's like moods all the time, when you forget yourself.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
my advice is like, go have couples therapy when things are still going well.
Oh, that's excellent advice. That's excellent advice. Yeah. Don't do it as a Hail Mary at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Tends not to work.
Tends not to work. You're too bitter. And don't build up bitterness. Try to let go and like keep things as clean as possible. You know, say what you mean what you say.
And always remember, if it doesn't work out, you can just get divorced.
You can just get divorced. You can, as both of us can attest.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. Divorce.
Yay. Divorce. Thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really makes a difference in helping people find the show. And we read the reviews every couple of weeks. We didn't today, though we should have. If you want to support the production of the show, please join our Patreon. It helps us keep the lights on. It's patreon.com/everythingisfine. We have a live event every month. We have one actually, well, we will have had one this last week. patreon.com/everythingisfine. If you want to find us on social media, we're at EIF Podcast on Instagram. We have a private Facebook group. We are on Twitter. You can email us at everythingisfinethepodcast@gmail.com. You can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. You can find me on tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini. And last but certainly not least, the show is edited and mixed by the great Natalie Rivera. Thank you, Natalie. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.